Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Arcanea Jedi Order, coming at you from Jedi Relics Radio, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we have a smaller panel than normal, which is all good. We have Alan, the Grandmaster of Arcanea Jedi Order. We have Dave, one of our newer hangarounds. We have BJ from Arcanea, California. And, of course, in studio, we have Snips and myself. First off, how are we all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Doing better now.
Been better.
Oh, okay, that is a little better. Hey, if this is kind of muffly, let us know. I'm actually doing the episode on a computer tonight because my phone is just getting no service. And, yeah, lots of love out to the Skype program because you can use Blog Talk Radio through Skype, so it's actually pretty badass. Still use Skype after all these years. All right, well, actually, let's get this going. Let's get started. We'll save some announcements for a little bit later. These ones should be good. All right, tonight's episode for Arcanea, we're going to be discussing the vows of Arcanea, which, of course, come from the Arcanea manual. And, Alan, unless I'm mistaken, these were inspired by Knight Chivalric codes, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And tonight we're going to talk about the vow of respect, the vow of humility, the vow of contemplation. And if we get to a little bit further, we will. But since you are the founder of Arcanea, what's the official, trust me, everybody listening, you don't want to hear me read because it's going to take at least 45 minutes for me to get the paragraph out. So what's the official doctrine for the vow of respect?
The vow of respect. A Jedi must possess the deepest respect for all things, living and inanimate. As a servant of life, a Jedi must possess the deepest respect for all things, themselves included. Respect enables a Jedi to deal with both life and people in a fair and honest manner, which strengthens the bonds between people and fosters peace and tranquility.
BJ, what does that mean to you?
Means go vegan or go home. No, I'm kidding. That's way too California for my taste. I kind of want to just give an example. Like, something I do all the time is like, if you bump into somebody and you're like, oh, sorry, excuse me. But sometimes you bump into a wall in your house and apologize to it too, because you just have this deep seated respect for everything. And, when I'm off balance and I'm in a mood and I'm just hating everything, being pissy, I just kind of get that attitude of like, you know, I don't do those things. I don't treat anything with respect because I'm pissed off, and it makes my day worse and worse and worse until I get that little bit of clarity or relaxation or somebody makes me laugh, whatever. And I go back into that, like, okay, I like everything again. Or even if I don't like it, I'm going to respect it enough to not destroy it, bash it, what have you. It really does. That type of attitude actually really helps me maintain a balance that I did not used to have before I started the path 4 years ago.
Well, it actually goes with part of the creed where to respect life in all forms. And get an interesting discussion about that. Let's start with Dave first, though. Dave, how do you share respect for people that actually don't respect?
That's always been a hard one for me. But ever since I was a kid, I was taught that, you know, respect is given and earned all at the same time. Respect your elders, respect people in a position of power. But at the same time, you know, when I became in the position I'm in now, I look at my power as, even though I have the power, I don't demand respect. I show my team that I respect them. I respect their decisions. I respect what they do. And when, you know, say a technician needs a day off because it's his birthday. Okay, cool. I respect that. You need a day off because it's your birthday. Great. You're going to get that day off. And even if that means I have to work a little bit harder. I try to accommodate my team and I show them the respect that I want them to show me at the end of the day.
All right, it's always been a fun topic on forums where people that we have personality clashes, so on and so forth, which the list of mine is pretty distinguished and you already know who's who. But for me, everybody does start with the baseline of respect. There is a simple baseline, and it, like Dave was saying, it goes up and it goes down throughout the day. The hardest part, throughout the day, the week, the month, the year, so on and so forth, the hardest part is, again, showing that respect to people that you just can't due to things that they've done, things that they've done to others, so on and so forth. Now, Snips, you work in a industry that respect is paramount, considering what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you talk about this at all? Like, if you see people that are not treating people well, how you can deal with it? And
well, I guess the thing that I always try to do is try to redirect the respect of all life. To me, is kind of like the circle of life kind of thing, where all of us play a purpose. We're all here for a reason. Even if I don't agree with someone in their view, they have a right to that view. And I always try to think of, you know, the idea of having cultural influences, way that a person was brought up. I try not to take that as a personal thing because I realize that I have my views and they have theirs. And I try not to hold that against people. I obviously fail sometimes. But then that's when I sit back and I look at what it is in me that is aggravated. So, for example, you know, something like abuse, where if I hear something like that, you know, I automatically am going to go on the defense on that. But when I sit back and think of, you know, somebody being in, or me being in their shoes, try to stand back and say, what exactly, how are they looking at life? Why is it that they lash out at other people? Is that the way that they were brought up? I don't look at them as evil people. I look at them as unguided people. And who knows, maybe that person went their whole life feeling that they were a piece of crap and that they weren't worth anything. And the only way that they know how to show any kind of emotion is through abuse. And I try to look at it that way, to where I'm trying not to judge, but realizing that they are here for a reason also, just like I am. And even if we can't see eye to eye on things, they have a right to their opinion. Maybe not necessarily their actions, but their opinion.
All right, Alan, I'm going to you. How do you still show respect towards people that you just can no longer respect?
I can't say that I've ever met anybody that I couldn't respect. I think too often we confuse the word respect with the words like or admire. And respect doesn't mean anything of that nature. I can hate certain positions of authority, but I can respect the position that's being held. And what we have to remember, even our enemies, there's a reason they became our enemies. If nothing else, respect the reason they became your enemy. They did something to acquire that. Whether it was being, you know, not backing down from an issue or, you know, refusing to give up and coming after you, respect their tenacity. There's always something to respect. Lately in the news, you know, the police issues, I feel that a lot of reason we're having issues with police isn't because there's so many bad cops out there. The cops aren't being shown respect anymore. You know, it used to be you might hate the individual. He might be your neighbor, live in your neighborhood. You may hate him as an individual. But when I was a kid, once that uniform was on, you respected that uniform. And when we say respect, you know, watch how you talk to him. You know, I'm not going to walk up to my worst enemy and start downgrading him. I know that's an instant fight right there. A good soldier respects their enemy, understands that, you know, they could be just as good, if not better than you. You may just not be seeing things from their point of view. And so respect doesn't mean to be nice, but it does mean to be civil. You know, talk to them in at least a neutral tone. Don't go on the defensive and don't go on the offensive. Just, you know, a great example I use. I mean, I've gotten in some situations with the law where I don't know how I was even let go under the circumstances. And yet 99% of the time I'm told, have a nice day. And I think a lot of that is when you get pulled over, we all know the first thing the officer is going to ask for when he walks up to the window of your car, license and registration. So while you're waiting for him to walk to your car, get the license and registration out. Show him that little bit of respect. You know, don't make him wait on it. Have it ready for him. That's a form of respect. When he asks you questions, answer them honestly and simply. That's a form of respect. And I think that's a big problem we have nowadays, is we all just want to blurt out what we're thinking right off the bat or how we feel. And I think that's also why so many feelings are getting hurt lately.
Sorry about that. Okay, remember Temple of the Jedi Order had a lot of big to-do when you were talking about that they're against capital punishment. They're against the death sentence. BJ, as our liberal California kid, what's your view? If you respect life in all forms, do you respect the death penalty in your state or in your area?
Actually, our governor, Gavin Newsom, recently held up, I don't know the right word for it, but he stopped the death penalty. We no longer have it. And I'm actually not happy about it. I know it seems contradictory as somebody who strives to respect all forms of life, but I think there actually does come a point when someone blatantly shows that they themselves have no respect for life and are harming others outside on the streets or in prison, whatever. There's a point that, you know, with the prison systems, if you have increasingly aggressive behavior, you go to increasingly secure areas. And there actually, you know, there's a point when you'll get put on death row, even as an inmate, if you kill somebody. And I think it's just something I think society should have. You know, there's a limit. Like, people need to know, like, a lot of us on this panel have kids. And every parent knows best way to raise, you know, when your kid's a toddler is they simply just need to know the rules. You know, my girls know that, you know, dinner, then we hang out, we read, and then it's bedtime. I set a timer at 7:50, and bedtime is 8 o'clock. That timer goes off. They're in their room. They get up, no question, because they know the rules, and they know they're going to get in trouble. They're not going to get a story in the room. They might not get songs. You know, they'll just have to go to bed. And as an adult, you need to know you can't go around killing people. If you're defending yourself or you're defending other people who need your help, you know, our laws and the penalties of those laws, there's varying degrees. You know, defending your home, you might do some jail time because you know, you killed somebody and unfortunately had to. But that's why there's manslaughter. That's why there's murder 3, because of extenuating circumstances. The law's not cold and blind and black and white. It's very gray on these areas. And I think there needs to be that harsher end for somebody who just premeditatedly. Let's take a local story. Scott Peterson, we all know Scott Peterson, right? That's 15 miles from where I live. He's on death row because he killed his pregnant wife because he didn't want to be part of the socialite scene. And he couldn't, quote unquote, couldn't handle it. Well, he could have just gotten a divorce and moved on. But he didn't respect her life or the life of his unborn child. And this state really rallied against that. So a lot of people in the state are not happy that we do, no longer have the death penalty, because we have some very famous individuals in this state.
Can I add to that? Go right ahead.
I was going to say that about wraps it up.
Well, what I was going to say, BJ, is there again, see, respect life. If somebody is needlessly taking life by giving them the death penalty, you're respecting life. You're taking a person out that is constantly taking the innocent lives. So therefore, you are respecting life by upholding the death penalty.
Yes, I agree with that.
I am on the ropes on the death penalty. Believe it or not, I am probably like the most controversial center right leaning person, because part of me wants to say yes, I don't intend death penalty, that, you know, there are reasons why people need to die. The other part of me is actually very thankful that I'm not the one who has to give out that sentence. I'm not the one who has to make the decisions. I mean, honestly, we can say, hey, I think BTK is the known bind, torture, kill. Yeah, he's from Wichita. Actually, he's from Park City, which is right outside Wichita. But it's easy to say, yeah, man, that guy deserves to die, da-da-da-da. But imagine being that judge who actually has to make that decision. You know, forget being a juror. You know, a juror can recommend, but they're still just recommending. Jurors are saying that we believe this person's guilty. The judge could overrule that. The jurors could say that we believe this person should seek the death penalty. The judge can overrule that. At the end of the day, that judge has to make that decision. And I'm actually not in a qualified place that I feel that I should. Sarah, what do you got for that one?
So forgive my bluntness, but if you are in a situation and you're in your home and somebody breaks inside your home and tries to kill you and your family, it makes complete sense that you are going to do everything in your power to protect you and your family. However, with the idea that something like the death penalty, where you are holding, you're taking a life because somebody took a life. It's, you know, I took a religious class back when I first started college. And one of the things that they were saying is that there will never be justice. He was relating it to the religious aspect and how we actually define justice. And he started using examples like the, what do you call that? The Roman thing where they're...
Colosseum.
Yes. The gladiator fights, whatever it is. Then he was talking about where they're sacrificing people. There's certain religions out there that sacrifice life. And then he was talking about cockfights, which I don't know why that pops into my head, but where animals are fighting. And he said that there is always going to be a part of us human-wise, as part of our, like, condition, that we're always going to seek some kind of vengeance in a form of violence, which is the reason why death penalty is so acceptable in, you know, society terms. However, as a human being, if I can honestly say that I am not a part of your situation, I was not there when you killed that person. However, I am going to condemn you for not only the rest of your life behind bars, but I'm also going to wish and advocate for them to put a needle in your arm or to electrocute you, because I want to see you suffer because of the wrong that you did. That is, to me, some really sick ideas. You know, I don't care how evil a person is, how dark they are. To sit there and advocate for someone to suffer, even if they did deserve it. You know, that's, in my opinion, that's between them and God. But for them to suffer the rest of their lives here for a situation that I'm not even a part of, I'm an outsider and I'm looking in. I don't know the situation. I don't know what was going in anybody's mind. To sit there and condemn them and hope that they suffer while they are dying. I don't know. That's some sick thoughts, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
Can I say something real quick, Hannigan?
I was going to call on you next, so go right ahead.
Awesome. So, Snitch, I'm going to stop you right there when you were talking. I have a very close friend, Hannigan. You actually know this person. His niece was actually murdered. She was, like, I think 4 or 5 years old. His sister's boyfriend is still sitting in jail right now. They're putting him on trial in a couple of months to decide if he is going to get the death penalty, if he is going to get to walk, if whatever. They're going to decide it in October. I feel, and I know, I've known his family for 9 years. The way I see it is, let him die. He took a life that didn't even have a chance to get to live it to the smallest extent, to the fullest. By all means, bye. You don't deserve to live anymore. But that's also because I've known his family for 9 years. I've known his mom for 9 years. They're so close to me that when they hurt, I hurt. And I'm all for it. I mean, if there's a man out there that's killing a little girl, bye. You're not wanted here anymore because you don't respect it. Now, with that being said, if someone comes to me, because I have a homeless man that comes by my shop all the time, I don't know his situation. I don't know his story. If when he comes up and I've got a little bit extra lunch, I'm like, hey, man, you want a cheese stick? That's about all I've got. And he's like, man, dude, I am so grateful that's all you've got. And he comes by. And he's got no problem coming into my lobby to get cool in the summer, warm in the winter. You know, I'm all for defending the people that can't defend themselves. But, you know, when you were saying, well, you can't justify someone suffering, the death penalty is actually, death by injection is one of the quickest and most painless ways to go. Because, yes, you know what's happening, but you don't know which, like, it goes quick. And I've actually had to do in college, I had to write a paper on the death penalties and the different forms of death penalties. And death by injection is probably one of the fastest and quickest ones that we've got. And it's one that is the most humane. So I'm all for it, honestly.
All right, fair enough. And we've managed to talk about respect for almost 30 minutes. So good job, team. All right, Alan, get your reading voice ready. Let's jump on to humility.
So I don't get to say anything about the death penalty?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I'd call on you first. I apologize. Yes, please talk about the death penalty. And remember, it was a big Tatcha debacle a couple years back.
Well, I'm going to say two things. One, let's remember that a lot of these people that are on death row, they're already suffering. You know, we tend to forget that, you know, we see these people that go out and kill children or whatever. We see them as evil and vile and monsters. But sometimes we tend to forget they're suffering inside. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. And so the death penalty could be a relief for them. But leaving personal feelings aside, I'm gonna go to what we consider to be one of the most barbaric countries in the world, is Saudi Arabia, because they have a death penalty from hell. Almost every crime you can commit is punishable by death. Their trials are quick, and the most you sit in prison there is a week. They got a 4% crime rate. You know, stop and consider that one for a minute. We don't have a city in this country that has a 4% crime rate. And yeah, is there the fear there if you get caught? Yeah, there sure is. But at the same time, it's nice, you know, when I was there, cars are left unlocked with the keys in the ignition. Doors don't even have locks on the front of houses because nobody's breaking the law. And that's, I mean, it's an example of a stiff law keeps people in order. And so I think if the right people deserve the death penalty, and of course there's going to be a mistake. There's always going to be mistakes. But the number of people that accidentally get the death penalty as opposed to the number of people that are getting it that actually deserved it is so low that I don't think I would do away with it. But that's all I got. You ready for me to go on to the next one?
Yes, please. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let me mute now. Go ahead and read off your humility, because I have a lot to talk about with that one.
The vow of humility. A Jedi is no better or more important than anyone else. A Jedi must always be mindful of their attitudes and self-image, that they do not become boastful or prideful in either their abilities or beliefs. Humility enables the Jedi to approach others and life in a respective manner and allows a Jedi to accomplish their goals unobtrusively. The humble person is easier to accept and far less threatening than the braggart.
All right, let's get this conversation rolling. All right, I love the concept of humility, but again, I believe our community has warped what humility means. Truth be told, I actually love your definition, but the community in general has this uber humility problem that needs to go away. The people who are, oh, I'm not worthy of this, or oh, I'm not worthy of that. You know, that's not humility. That's just false bullshit that we all need to get rid of. Humility is not thinking less about yourself. It's about thinking about yourself less, as in, you know, working towards and helping other people, not worrying about your own selfish desires, you know, actually work towards helping with other people. Another thing I've noticed is if you talk about martial arts within a community and say, yeah, I got a second degree black belt in Taekwondo, da da da, people will come back with, oh, you're just about being a secondary black belt in Taekwondo. I'm like, no, you asked about my martial art background, so I told you. And you told anybody can get a secondary black belt in Taekwondo if they're pretty willing and able to put in hard work and the effort to actually earn it. Even knighting within our community is a really big thing. You know, there are some Facebook groups that call themselves Jedi Orders that don't quite understand that. You know, for them, getting knighted is a sure thing, where it's really not. You know, we have to put in that work and that effort to actually become knights. And showing humility is a big aspect to doing that. But again, it's showing real humility, not fake humility. BJ, what do you got for real humility versus fake humility, or what do you got?
Oh, man. you know, I kind of want to use my training master as my example. I mean, we all know who he is, and it's pretty perfect. So I am training under this guy named MJ Hannigan. He's a Jedi master, and he's pretty controversial. And a lot of people say that he lacks humility. Well, guess what? He doesn't. He holds a balance. Yeah, you're proud, you know, Hannigan, you're proud of yourself. You're proud of your accomplishments. you border on boasting at times, but you also recognize that you also have, that going along with these experiences you've had, these accomplishments you have a responsibility to encourage others to do what they want to do, what they're trying to do. You have your own special way about it that some people can't quite stand, but that's on them, you know. You'll know, I've known you for 4 years, and you will never claim to be something you're not. You'll never hide something you are. To me, that is humility. That's actually why back when I was, you know, 4 years ago when I was training under Master Wilson, that's why I looked at you as a mentor, because I felt like you were encouraging me to do the damn thing. Now, you know, now we say Templar up, and that's important. And you got these people out there that are just fake as all hell, and it's hard for me to not name names, but there's people that, you know, they have their accomplishments, maybe. I don't know them personally, so I don't know how real they are, but they're also the first one to brag that they're master of this organization or whatever, or have this rank or have this experience, do this job. But they never, at least in the chat rooms on Facebook and such, you don't see them encouraging people to do it, you know, do things for themselves. You know, they don't give examples of why they're saying they're have such and such job. You know, they're just saying they want to use it as a point for an argument, like, oh, I do this for a living, so you're wrong, you can't really do that, instead of, hey, I'm in this field and I think you might be going about this the wrong way, why don't you try this? That's where that boasting and humility border comes into me. Hold on. I'm losing my breath. Yeah, I think it's almost like you're saying, it's the humility thing is overdone, especially in our community. I live in California, for crying out loud. It's like you're not allowed to boast about anything here, you know, and you just can't be proud anymore. And in the Jedi community, it's the fake humility goes right along with the fake stoicism, you know, fake concern. I just, you know, I'm not a big fan of it at all.
True. I don't know what things you're supposed about. One, I have like the most sick-ass girlfriend ever imaginable. So I'm supposed about that. And Arcanine has something to boast about. You know, Karen's not here tonight because she went to a Saber event. And did I read right? Third, or she went to the third round? Did you guys read about that one yet?
Yeah.
Am I muted?
No, I haven't read about it yet.
Okay. She made third place, and then they ran out of time.
Can you guys still hear me okay?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. We can still hear you.
Cool. Yeah, unfortunately, we're using the computer since my phone just got no service tonight. So great job to Karen from South Carolina, Arcanea. I've been impressed to brag about that. She went out there and kicked some ass. I don't know if she's what Pudding Pop or not. I don't know if she went to like that group. If she did, I'm really want to hear more about it. But yeah.
Hey, we lost you there. All right, is anybody else still there?
I'm here still.
I'm here.
Okay, well let's try to pick up until he can chime back in. Go ahead, Dave. What is your perspective on humility?
My perspective on humility, one of my friends, probably about 6 years ago, he told me a quote, and I kind of try to live by it. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's grave is 6 feet. And I asked him, I was like, well, what does that mean? You know, what is your takeaway from that? And he said that his takeaway was, it doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States or you're some hobo off the street. at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, everybody's grave is 6 feet deep. We're all going to be buried 6 feet. It doesn't matter. And I started thinking about it, and I kind of twisted it to my own. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. You still wipe your rear with the same toilet paper I do. So, yeah, yours may be four ply or whatever, but we're all human, you know. If one stays humble and looks at it that way, then there really won't be too much to argue about, because humility is, it's more or less about keeping yourself in check, so then that way you're not putting yourself above someone else, honestly. But yeah, that's all I've got on that.
Yeah. All right. Let me get back. Sorry about that. Our internet connection's just odd tonight. I don't know. Maybe it's the awesome weather we're having. Did you guys all talk about what you guys had pre-humility? Or is there anything
not
else
yet
before I get Sarah and myself to talk?
No, go ahead and let Sarah talk.
All right. Here we go.
All right. So when I first came into the community, I had Carl, who some people don't like, but I absolutely love him. And he told me to watch the movie Buddha with, Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, it was a good movie. Anyway, so I watched the movie and I got back to him probably like 2 months later. And he quoted me. And I just want to read what this says, but I mean, I literally had this on my mirror for the longest time because it just hits so deep. So Buddha says, you know, who or you who go nowhere, no one else will dare, will you be my God? Or I'm sorry, that was Mara. Buddha says, architect, I have finally met you. You will not rebuild your house again. Mara says, but I am your house and you live in me. Buddha says, O Lord of my own ego, you are pure illusion. You do not exist. The earth is my witness. And I like that because Mara was like a reflection of everything but humility. It was the ego. It was the pride. It was the, you know, the stuff that we tend to let our emotions run wild with. And to me, humility is about being able to admit that you're wrong, keeping yourself in check. And I don't know, I absolutely love that quote. Like I said, it was on my mirror for a very, very long time, and it kept me honest. So, yeah.
Humility is always a fun concept to talk about and to consider. I hate love talking about it because people see me as like being the less humble person ever. It's okay to be proud of things that we've accomplished. It's okay to be proud of who we are as people. The problem where humility oversteps is, we'll talk about Facebook groups. We'll talk about forums for a minute. When we let people say, oh, I'm Jedi Master or I am an admin at this group and it's going to be the way I'm going to have it be, otherwise you're going to be gone. That's where humility should be more in a check. As a knight of an order, as a knight of Jedi Federation, as a knight of Arcanea, okay, technically as a master of Arcanea, but whatever, my biggest responsibility is to be of service to my Padawans. My biggest responsibility is to rep the order the best that I can. And, you know, unfortunately, there are other orders out there that believe that because they're a knight or because they're a master, that their words should be valued so much higher than anybody else's. And the truth is, as a knight or as a master of an order, we're actually the servants of the order. And I lost contact with you guys for a few minutes. So, Alan, is there anything you want to say to wrap that up before we move on?
Yeah. Two words when it comes to humility. context and perception, because those two mean everything. If I'm talking about what I've accomplished so that I can be there to help others, that's not boasting. That is not, you know, being non-humble. That is letting others know, hey, I'm here for you. This is what I'm capable of. This is what I've done. On the other hand, if I'm putting this information out there because I'm trying to look better than you, or I'm trying to impress you, or I'm just trying to one-up you, then that would be boasting. And I think people get confused with that because, you know, if I take my truck to go get worked on, am I going to just go find some dude that says, hey, I can turn a wrench? Or am I going to go look for an ASE certified Ford mechanic? Well, if he's got a big ASE patch on his shoulder and he's got all these certificates on his wall that show all the training he's had, is he boasting? No, he's showing me his qualifications to say, hey, I'm qualified to take care of that vehicle. And we forget that, just like a doctor's office. You go into your doctor's office, he's got all of his certificates and diplomas on his wall. It's not that he's boasting. He wants you to know what he's capable of, what his qualifications are. And there's a big difference between giving somebody your qualifications and boasting.
You know what, though? Many mechanics who work on Fords, they don't have time to boast because they're so damn busy working on Fords.
Ha, ha, ha.
All right, so what's the next topic of conversation, Alan?
The vow of contemplation. Are you ready for me to read it?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay, this is a long one. The vow of contemplation. A Jedi must possess a clear mind and approach life and situations from an objective perspective. Emotion, while not bad, can influence the perceptions and judgment of a Jedi, and care must be taken to ensure that the position of the Jedi is unbiased. To this end, meditation is a highly recommended practice that can both clear the mind as well as teaching patience. Meditation is a key in the life of the Jedi, and it affords the Jedi the opportunity to commune with the Force and leads them to a greater self-understanding.
All right, BJ, that's a pretty long depth. It's a short California version of it.
Okay, so contemplation, thinking about shit. That's about what a Californian would say, I guess. Meditation, man. I think Master Alan would remember. I am admittedly horrible with meditation. I want to do it every day. I kind of do. Like, I try to get some moving meditation and try to clear my mind as I'm doing something mundane, especially at work when I'm doing finished work on parts and such. But as far as, you know, sitting down, taking time, clearing my mind, facing myself, a lot of different groups, Jedi, witchcraft, Luciferian, Reiki, spiritualist healers, crystal hippies, they all suggested to me to, like, get meditation at least once a week. Like, you know, like a good half hour in. And it would help me a lot with a lot of my things, a lot of my issues. I'm just so horrible at it because I sit there and I'll be pondering why something's going on in my life, why something's going good, why something's going bad, dreading something good going bad, whatever, trying to work through my things. And then my brain just kind of goes like, squirrel. And I just get up and go on to something else. Or I'll be like, oh, no, like I'll be out on the nature path here in town. We live near a river and there's a little nature path and you can go out there and really get into yourself. But it's almost like I try to give myself an excuse to get up and move to another spot. You know, it takes a lot for me to really know when I have to, like, get into myself and contemplate. And I am probably a really great example of, if I were to share more of my own personal life, I'd be a great example of why meditation is a good thing. I dwell on things. I hold grudges. You know, that's why I'm on this path, is to learn how to better myself in these areas so I can help other people in these areas, help other people better themselves. One person at a time, you know, we can change the world. It takes one person to change the world. Get the ball rolling. Templar up. But admittedly, I suck with meditation.
That might just be haven't found the right form yet. Sitting meditations, full lotus, half lotus, I'm not for that. If you want to catch me in a good meditative state, me at the gym.
Oh, you know that stair climber yesterday? Did 20 floors on that stair climber. And I was pretty zoned out, like just blank-minded. You know, you might have something there because those stair climbers are – that's my new hated friend.
See, I knew I would catch you there. I knew I'd catch you. Like, the whole sitting meditation thing, full lotus, half lotus, you know what?
I don't even know the names of forms. You know, like, I haven't even given it honest research on, like, types of forms and stuff. I just try to, like, sit there as one would picture, like, a Buddhist on a movie or something. You know, legs folded, arms out, looking all cool. That might be my problem. I need to be into something. Like Adam or Jerry commented the other day when I said something about having to do tons of finish work, and he was like, "Oh, that's the best time for moving meditation," and he's right. You know, I quit playing on my phone at that point and just got into my work. The stair climber got me there. Maybe I do just need to find a better form.
All right, so for me, Taekwondo forms work great, especially if I'm focusing on filling the elements of the Taekwondo forms. Absolutely flawless. Have a blast doing it. Sitting down and thinking things through is, you know, the big concept of this spell.
Yeah.
There are things that we do, and again, I got hit on this one about 3 months ago, that we do what we do. Not everybody understands why. But we still think about why we're going to do what we're going to do, and, you know, considering the possibilities, the consequences, and all the drama that goes with. Making snap decisions is generally a bad idea unless you're doing it that you had a calling to go and do it. You know, me coming up to Michigan, on a logic point of view, maybe not have been there, but on a calling point of view, something I definitely had to go and do. Sarah will tell you guys very much, and I think, Alan, you got to witness it quite a bit as well. I spend a lot of time in my head. I spend a lot of time thinking about what's going on, how to change it, you know, how to get Jedi Realist Radio up and going. I spend a lot of time in contemplation, so it's probably one of my bigger areas. But Dave, what do you got for this one?
I mean, meditation comes in, well, you've already said it, you know, multiple forms. I do a lot of mine moving while I'm at work. And most of mine is I have to be able to make split-second decisions. And in order to be able to make those decisions, I have to be confident in what I do and what I say. And then when we do have our slow spurts, I go sit in my office for about 10, 15 minutes sometimes and kind of think, did I make the right decision there? What could I have made differently? I go back and I reflect on the decision that I made. And at the end of the day, I have to be able to say, yes, I am confident that I made the right decision at this right time. And then if I'm faced with it again tomorrow, I know I can make the same decision again because I made it the day before. But, yeah, most of mine is all moving meditation. I don't get the opportunity to sit down and think about the situation because I have to have split-second answers and split-second decisions that have to be made. the other kind that I do is with my 7-year-old. You know, he has ADHD, so he starts bouncing off the walls. And we tell him to do something, and he starts getting agitated and starts screaming and yelling and throwing his little fits. And my wife and I both got we were good at it, now we've got to get better at it again. But we both would stop what we were doing. We would hold his hands down at his side, and we would get nose level with him. And we'd say, okay, now we're going to breathe. Breathe in deep with him to help calm him down. And on the opposite, it would help calm us down, so we were talking at a very calm level with him. I think that helps out a lot, too, because it helps us focus on our breathing. And when we focus on our breathing, then we are able to clear everything out of our head, so we are talking and speaking very clearly and not getting upset and as aggravated with the situations that's going on. So.
Right, fair enough. Snips, we're on you now. What do you got? Oh, taking the phone.
I'm taking the phone.
About to get serious.
I know. So this is actually something that I've had to work really, really, really hard on. And I'm definitely sticking with it. So the job that I have is extremely stressful. I could be fine 1 second and then all of a sudden they have a bunch of stuff hit me like bing, bam, boom. All I have to do is open up my email. And sometimes it just gets so overwhelming. And remember this one time I call her my office wifey. So it's a coworker. We share an office. And I walked in this one time and she just looked at me and she was like, what's wrong? And I was like, dude, the crap just hit the fan. And she grabbed me and she sat me down and she was like, all right, we're just going to take a little bit of a timeout right now. So we both closed our eyes and we both did some breathing. And it was really, really cool that, you know, she took time out of her work to help me out, get me through that moment. But I'm not the type of person that meditates by sitting down on the ground and doing the hum like my daughter does, which is so adorable, by the way. For some reason, I can't relax my mind long enough for that to have any benefit. So I found that doing things for me, like painting, listening to music, cleaning, anything that actually gets me out of that moment actually helps a lot better. And of course they do call that a form of meditation, but that's not the meditation that we usually refer to. Sometimes writing down the situation, throwing darts at a dartboard, which is something I want to get from my office because I think that would be awesome. I don't think that that's going to happen though. Or just taking a ride.
And swolfies.
And swolfies. You and your swolfies. But yeah, I mean, that's what I have to do to clear my mind to get me through the moment. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, like Hannigan had a situation and he was sitting there thinking and thinking and thinking. And I said, no, just walk away and come back to it and new ideas will hit you. And that's what happened, it sounded like. So, yeah.
You know what? I'm actually going to add in. I totally miss ArtNet HQ because when I wanted to go to clear my head, going for a ride out that way was just phenomenal. The drives out there were amazing, and the scenery is gorgeous. Really off topic, speaking of squirrels and BJ, and now Elsa has her ears perked up. Are the leaves finally showing out there in Missouri?
Everything is green.
That is
the flowers are even blooming. But is it as green as California? I joke, but we'll be on fire in like 2 months, so.
But yeah, it seems every time you say the word squirrel, Elsa's ears just perk up. She's like, where? I want it. Am I right, Alan?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Love that girl.
anything that you want to finish this up with, contemplation on, Alan?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the issue I see with meditation is everybody makes more out of it than it really needs to be. And Hannigan, I think you can attest to this. I meditate every day. Am I sitting in front of candles with a little Yoda Buddha statue? No. But what I do, I get up just a little bit earlier than the rest of the house every morning. I make my cup of coffee. I sit in my house while it's all still quiet. And for the first 5 minutes, all I do is enjoy that coffee. I just sit there without thinking about anything else but my coffee. Then I'll spend the next 5 minutes thinking about what has to happen that day and what I need to do to accomplish that. And 10 minutes a day, just sitting there with your mind clear and then spending a few minutes thinking about what you need to do that day, is one of the easiest meditations anybody can do. BJ, you are absolutely correct with climbing those stairs at the gym. That is a great form of moving meditation. Taking a walk, even if it's only a 5-10 minute walk, somewhere where it's quiet, where you're not thinking about everything every day. For some of us, just put the phone down for 10 minutes. You know, get rid of social media for 10 minutes. Some of the easiest meditation any of us could ever do.
All right, fair enough. And gentlemen, we've been talking for going on an hour. We're ready to close this one out. Any final thoughts? We'll start with Age first. Alan, final closing thoughts for you for the episode? And lady, sorry.
I think the episode went great tonight. And look forward to picking up the next three next Friday.
All right. California kid.
I got to agree with Master Alan. I think this went really, really well. I think this is going to be a really great series to get a younger Jedi, new to the crowd type people, and, you know, understanding what's all entailed, see if they want to get on the path or not. And I think this series is also going to be a great reminder for the old salty dogs in the community who just maybe need that little refresher on, you know, what it is to follow the path. I think a lot of us get led into different little directions because of outside influences or environmental issues or whatever. And I think everybody needs to come back into their path, to the roots of their path, and remember why they're doing this, why they started it. And it'll help you move forward.
You know, getting back to basics is always a valuable tool. Even though I would be the next oldest, actually, no, I think I'm much older than BJ. I also go with this. Dave, any final thoughts for tonight's episode?
It's given me some things to go back and, you know, kind of reflect on. But other than that, I really have nothing.
All right. Miss Sarah, anything for you? Final thoughts?
Nope, I'm good.
I got one last thing.
Go right ahead.
For all of you out there that missed it tonight, shame on you. But we'll be back again next Friday.
Amen.
Here on Jedi Realist Radio.
Hey, I thought you had some announcements you wanted to make.
Going back to basics is a great concept. A lot of people want to talk about Reiki. I'm a huge fan of that. Or they want to talk about other things. But going back to our Jedi basics is something that we need to do every so often. It's a valuable tool, and it gives us a chance to refresh. Teaching Padawans is actually the best way to go back to basics because you're learning it with them. You've already learned it. You already know it. But you're learning it as a different perspective. You're seeing it the way they're seeing it. And one thing I want to say is actually really interesting. I haven't made BJ do it yet. Write the Jedi Code. What does it mean to you? That's a basic thing. We all make our Padawans do. But also, a year later, write the Jedi Code. What does it mean to you? They're like, dude, I've already done that. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's cute. You've already done it. That's sweet. Do it again.
And when you see the differences from one year to the next on how that changes things, it's a great thing. I have like several 365 meditation books. And it's so funny because I can go back and I can, you know, look for the date and read it and write a reflection on it. And then a year later, I can do the same damn book, go to the same damn page and have a very different impression of it. So going back to basics is valuable for everybody. And again, Friday nights is Arcanine Jedi. We're going to be covering these spells probably for 3 more episodes to come. Definitely 2 more. We might stretch it to 3. Some of the concepts, as we learned tonight, are going to be a little more discussion than some of your other ones. So it is what it is. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining us here with Arcanine Jedi. And make sure you follow us on Jedi Realist Radio. If you follow us on Blog Talk Radio, all you have to do is hit follow. It's going to ask you to log in information or whatever. Just put login through Facebook and you'll get a hold of it there. Like us on Facebook. And also make sure you check out the Arcanine Jedi Order on Facebook as well. There's a Facebook page as well as a group. Let them know Hannigan sent you. All right, buddy. Mike, this is Hannigan. We're out.